It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoy.
Well, I didn't realize, Jess, that you hadn't been here that long. You hadn't been here in that long. And that you had to ask me, are we doing an hour today?
Is it an hour or a half hour?
It's an hour.
Yeah, yeah. That was great. That's fantastic.
Unless you bail on me.
Yeah. Yeah, you asked me if that's okay. I'm like, do I have an option?
No, if I ask the wrong question. Well, the funny thing is, Allie knew.
Yeah.
She's like, you have them for an hour. And I'm like, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it'll be 12. Then noon again next month.
Yeah.
And then 11. No, back to 11.
So I always appreciate being here. It's good to connect with you, Paul. It's good to see you. It's good to pass along some information to the listeners. So it's, happy to be here and glad I still have an invitation.
That's me patting myself on the back.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Did you break your arm doing that?
Yeah, because I don't do it very much.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, welcome to the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with a toy sink.
There you go. I like it.
Question mark on the... thing. I'm like Ron Burgundy. I read everything the way it's written, right? So I put a question mark on that. Anyway, yeah, there is a toy sink here. You can see it on my Facebook page, I believe.
I saw the video, I think, on a Facebook page somewhere. Was it yours? Yeah.
Probably mine.
Yeah. I was talking to you.
You find City. Yeah, I'm sure you were. Find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. And we have special guests today. Guests, as in plural, Lake Havasu City Manager Jess Knutson.
Happy to be here.
Woo! North Dakota State.
Happy Tuesday. Oh, and North Dakota State didn't do so well this year.
I heard.
Montana State.
Montana State. Yeah. Did they win? They won the FCS?
Yeah, yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Who are they now? What's their mascot?
It's the Bobcats.
Bobcats.
Right? So it's Montana. Montana's the Grizzlies, right? And then Montana State's the Bobcats.
Compared to the Bison, that's just underwhelming.
Yeah, the Bison lost in a shocker to Illinois State, of all teams.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeff Tuneman, Development Services Director. How are you?
Good. Great to be here.
What's your alma mater? What's the mascot?
In Northern Arizona.
Oh,
Lumberjacks.
The Lumberjacks. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm a running Rebel, so there you go.
There you go. Yeah.
Actually, it's the Rebels, but when it's basketball season, and we don't even admit it this year, they have a losing record. This is a former national champion, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the UNLV Running Rebels, not so great in basketball, but football, they're like monsters lately. So anyway, big council meeting tonight. I call it groundbreaking, landmark, whatever, the vote on the development on the island.
Yeah.
What is that called?
Waterfront.
The waterfront property on the island. Jeff Tuneman, you have a big part in this, don't you?
I do. Yes, so I am the Development Services Director, as you stated, and we process and run the general plan amendment and the rezone through the city processes and make sure we follow all the codes and regulations related to that.
So where are you in the process right now?
This property requires a major general plan amendment. So what that means is it has to go through three public hearings. So we've had two public hearings. up to this point with our Planning and Zoning Commission, and this is the final stage, taking it to City Council this evening.
Hey, can I jump in?
Absolutely.
Jeff, could you also explain a little bit of what on the staff side, because that's the forward-facing component of what we're talking about here today, right? We receive an application from the public. We process the application, and make sure the Planning and Zoning Commission has the information they need to make good decisions, and then obviously doing the same tonight with the City Council. But on the back end, whether it's this application that comes forward or something similar, talk about just the meetings with the team to make sure the infrastructure and all the analysis has taken place?
Right. So as part of the submission process to the city, we require certain things like traffic statements, drainage reports, water studies, sewer studies, and those types of things. And so what we do is we take those and we meet as city staff. We send them, if they're within 1 mile of the state highway, we'll send that to ADOT, other utility companies as well. But internally as a city, we read these reports, we put them against our master plans, look at the traffic impacts, possibilities, and then we come with an outcome of, you know, what needs to happen to our city infrastructure, how do we handle that, can we handle that capacity and whatnot. And we've done that with this project, and city staff, and what the numbers look like. It looks like with a development agreement that we put together, that we definitely have the capacity and can handle this rezone if approved.
The immediate capacity, like long-term or short-term or both?
Both.
Really?
Yes.
How many residents or people, I don't know how much of it's going to be short-term or how much of it's going to be long-term, right, as far as stick-built homes, that sort of thing. Sure. How many people are we estimating here, Jess?
That's a good question for Jeff. The number of single family, multi-family.
There's about 67,000 square foot of commercial. There's going to be a resort that's 200 rooms, a 200 room resort. It's going to have 15 bungalow types, and there's going to be approximately 300 residential, multi-family, townhouse type units within the development.
What does bungalow types mean?
So if you've been to a resort, they have these kind of like, they're almost like a studio, but they stand alone outside the actual resort itself, and kind of surround the property.
Interesting. I like to hear what the residents think. 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687, or you can text us at 928-727-5566. That's actually getting pretty popular.
What's that?
928-727-5566. Okay. I think it's easier to remember, and you know, people in Havasu think they'll know my voice.
Just text me, right?
Yeah, text us. Text us your question, and we'll answer any questions that you have on the waterfront zoning. I thought going in that was going to be the tough part, was getting that property rezoned in any way, because what was it before?
It was recently, I should say, it's a dirt lot. About 8 years ago, I believe it closed as a golf course, somewhere after that time frame, a little 9-hole golf course.
Is it called open use?
Open space and open parks space, is the general plan designation, and the zoning is golf course.
Okay. Were there big challenges in getting that rezoned for the developer?
So we haven't actually rezoned the property yet. Ah, that's what we're thinking before tonight.
Oh, I'm thinking of planning and zoning, right?
Right.
What did planning and zoning say?
So planning and zoning, that hearing took, it was about a four-hour public hearing, and they ultimately are sending a recommendation of approval by a vote of 7-0 to City Council this evening.
Okay. Now, one of the big sticking points from what I understand was shoreline access, right? Is that intact?
Yes, so the Island Body Beach Zoning District is which the base zoning that they're requesting requires a 15-foot public access easement and shoreline preservation easement. So they did have that in place. That equaled approximately 4 acres or so, 5 acres. And since we've taken to the Planning and Zoning Commission, the developer and applicants come back and they've changed that, and they want to provide a easement that's 100 foot in width but no less than 15 foot minimum. So what that means is they've increased that, let's say 5 acres, to almost 14 acres. So they've almost increased that public shoreline preservation easement to by almost 156%.
I know what the words mean, but what does that mean visually for radio, for our listeners?
And I think just kind of explain the concept of those are a lot of words out that we're used to saying, right? But for the listener that's out there, you know, what we're talking about is an easement. So that's an easement that's recorded on the property as part of the title that that allows for public access to take place on these properties. Would you say 14 acres?
Yes.
So in the areas that are closer probably by the resort, there's more than 100. On average, they're coming back with 100-foot, on average, public access easement on that property. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. It's a conversation that's out there. We're not, as staff, we don't vie for it. We're not, you know, we're not for it. We're not against it. We're just trying to get all the information out there so that the residents can understand and ultimately the council can make the best decision that's possible. But they are, obviously, shoreline access is critical for our residents. And I'll give kudos to the developer in this case for them to listen and understand and get to know Havasu and what's important for this property. So it'll be a part of the consideration this evening.
Does that mean that easement you talk about, like a future walkway or, you know, I don't know what I'm visualizing here, maybe like a river walk, mm-hmm. like they have in Laughlin type thing?
Yeah, we're not talking about a tremendous amount of space. We're talking about a 90-acre property on the island, right? So there will be some access, you know, for that type of look and feel and all the rest, but, you know, it won't be connecting to anything, right? So that's but a space where the public can go, enjoy a beach, enjoy the shoreline activities that are over there. On that one, we talk about shoreline. And I know it's off the topic of waterfront, but I'm looking at the area I have here in the photo too. Yeah, but
you can see the golf course.
You can see the golf course on it. But it's on the north side of the island where our residents have enjoyed that shoreline access for generations. Right.
Right.
When you have an amenity in Havasu where a young family can take their kids down, pop, put a little bit of shade up, dip their toe in the water, and enjoy that, then. You know, that's something that's super important. There's, you know, the history and traditions and the culture of Havasu, you know, similar to what we talk about maybe at Body Beach. These are traditions and culture, within Havasu that are important. Not taken away from the shoreline conversation of what's happening at waterfront, but, I just want to allude to the fact that, council staff, where we got a few things in the works and try to make sure that we're preserving that shoreline access. On the other side, on the north side of the island.
Is that what we're going to call it for short, waterfront?
Waterfront is their name, the applicant's name.
Well, it's like now you have the commons, right?
Oh, sure.
On McCulloch.
Yeah.
So what about water and sewer impacts? How big is the impact on water?
Sure. We have the water to provide the development. It's just there's some infrastructure that needs to be put in place to feed the development. As far as wastewater goes, yes, they're going to have to build a lift station and pump it to the treatment plant on the island. So we have plenty of capacity in the treatment plant, but it's getting it there to the plant that's going to need to be handled. And the developer and the development agreement that's going forth tonight covers how all of that will...
They pay for it.
Where does that tie in as far as the island goes? As far as the main, it's on the water main.
Jeff just talked about a lift station. That's on the border of the nautical and this property. There's already an existing lift station, but it needs to be upsized. I think we're upsizing the water main that on McCulloch as well, too.
Correct.
Yeah.
Is that a big expense for the developer? Because they've already paid $24 million for the property, right?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of expense that's tied to it. If you look at what they're coming to the table with, they're talking about $498 million of total investment into this property.
Yeah.
So, it's... My direction that I've talked about since the day I got here, the direction that I'm receiving from council, is that on these projects, growth pays for growth. That we're not going to be passing along the cost of any development, whether this passes or doesn't pass. That's the approach that we've taken it to this point in time, which is growth pays for growth. They need to upsize a water main. Well, then they need that. We're telling them you need to upsize your water main.
Right.
You pay for it.
Growth pays for growth, but not in the way of developer fees. Right.
Yeah, I mean, anything they need that's going to impact our infrastructure, our public safety, all that, all those types of things, needs to be paid for. We're not building them roads. We're not installing right. new water on the taxpayer dollar.
So, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Again, the number 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR, and the text line 928-727-5566. Figured I'd get you in a good mood. You're kind of scowly today, by the way.
Well, thanks for noticing.
I mean, just for a revisit, I don't feel like you're happy to see me.
Oh, I'm happy to see you, Paul. I got my poker face on, apparently, today.
That's why I had to bring out Brass Monkey.
Yeah, there you go. I love it. That'll put me in a good mood.
All right, little beasties coming your way. Again, Lake Havasu City Manager Jess Knutson, our guest, and Development Services Director Jeff Tuneman. And we'll be back with more to talk about tonight's council meeting. Is it going to be a long one?
Well, Jeff just indicated that when this item went before the P&Z, it was almost 5 hours.
All right. But this isn't the only item, is it?
This is not the only item. Yeah.
We'll get to some of those other items when we come back on Speak Out. Stay with us. Here, I thought I queued up the chorus, and I did not. I didn't queue up the best hook, right? No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
Good.
What's that?
It sounds good to me. I expect that out of you anyway.
Just play some tunes then?
Sure.
Like my next life, then that'll be my next gig, right, DJ?
I like it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Anyway, you'd be surprised. I'll tell you something off the air.
Okay. All right. You don't want to share with your listeners?
Not yet. Speak Out. Brought to you in part by, of course, Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. By Mojave Electric Cooperative. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Just Meats by TWN Fiber Internet. Salmon's Air Conditioning. Blonzy's Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road. And, of course, A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. And, boy, I don't feel for you guys tonight at all. It's that long council meeting stuff. I remember as a reporter, though, I had to hang out either online or in person and check it out. But, yeah not anymore. I'm more of an anchor. So, you know, just gather stories here, stories there, and throw it all together. So,
no, you do a good job at that.
Well, thank you.
No, I mean, long meetings are part of the process.
Part of the job.
We do our best to try to solicit as much feedback from the public as possible. So when people are there and then they have want to voice their concerns or positivity, then we love all that. Or ask questions and get information.
I got you.
So it's all great.
I want to get to council packets as well.
Okay.
I don't know if that's your thing or whatever. You're more of a the agenda guy and those sorts of, you know, like what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're really part of that, the whole city clerk.
So, Kelly,
I don't want to talk about it right now because I'm going to bring it up.
But, okay, great.
Anyway, Parker 400. I'm a little surprised at this. Tech inspection is on McCulloch. So, Havasu becomes part of the Parker 400.
Right. Yeah, so Parker 400 approached the city a few months back and talked about doing something a little bit differently than they have in the past. They already have their route and everything lined up for in Parker, and people are going to enjoy that. But bringing some of that feel and energy and obviously all the toys down to downtown Havasu this week. So that's pretty exciting. We do have a temporary road closure, and that's going to start on the that's tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The days and weeks go by fast for
me. Don't
they,
though?
Yeah, it's crazy. So tomorrow at 4 o'clock is when the closure starts, and then the event will take place on Thursday. So encourage folks to get into the downtown and see what that has to offer. And then concludes at 6 o'clock on Thursday. So, and then the cleanup starts right away. And then we're hoping to fully reopen the road tomorrow evening at about 10 o'clock. So that's the plan. So a new kind of event in the downtown, a new
that's
kind of
fun.
Event for Havasu
that's
and to be able to tap into the Parker 400 is very, very exciting.
Have you ever heard of the Mint 400?
I have not.
The Mint 400 is a Southern Nevada event, and I think they still call it that, but the Mint Hotel is now, I believe, the Horseshoe downtown.
Okay.
But they used to have the tech inspection on Fremont Street before all of that roof was over it, you know, Fremont Street experience and all that.
Yeah.
We did school to go to the Mint 400 tech inspection. I got Ted Nugent's autograph 1 year.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
It was a blast.
That's awesome.
All right, let's take a phone call.
Okay.
Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Yes, in regards to the new development on the island, hopefully it does go through. With the timelines, will the development be done before or after the second bridge gets finished? Because congestion's already a huge issue with the island, especially on big weekends. You know, most Havasuvians avoid the island at all costs during big weekends. But what's the timeline on the development once it gets started? Will it be done before or after the second bridge? And I'll hang up and just listen to you guys discuss. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling the show.
Great.
Appreciate
it. That's awesome. I appreciate the caller calling in, asking a very great question. You know, I can't speak so much for the timeline for the construction on the waterfront project, although they're telling us that would happen very quickly without the need for investors or without the need for any type of loan or debt issuance and things like that. So they come with all of that prepared. But on the bridge, that's obviously a city project. Ron Foggin, Jason Hart, Mike Wolf, Sean Clark, our team is working very hard on that project and advancing that really at lightning speed. I think the expectation right now is to start construction on the second bridge next year, 2027. So that's the goal. That's what we're trying to strive for right now. Would be summerish or fall of 2027 when construction starts on the second bridge. So without knowing more specifics in terms of the waterfront plans on the construction side, anyway, it would be all happening at all about the same time.
How's that going to impact the island, the actual bridge construction itself, as far as traffic goes on the island side of that connection? Are there going to be closures there? Or
no, we're utilizing that state land that's adjacent to the Crazy Horse property.
Right, right.
We're going to have to, that roadway will have to connect to Beachcomber or McCulloch, whatever it is I think Beachcomber right there, right? Not a lot of impacts in terms of road closures or any of that'll take place. Really not anywhere, because we have some buffers in terms on both sides of the channel when it comes to construction. We have the state park on one side, and we have state land, vacant state land on the other side. So that'll be some of the good news. It's when we tie in those road networks from the bridge to existing roadways is when there'll be an inconvenience for the motorists, but we should be in a pretty good spot there. So the bridge, we have to get Coast Guard approvals. We're still working with state land to finalize the changes that we made to shorten the bridge deck, which saves money. And we're still working with state parks on a few things, obviously going through all the design and making sure that it meets all the needs of what it's intended to use. We are including some utilities as part of that project. We want to get the water and wastewater mains out from underneath the channel.
Gotcha.
And get them into the bridge. So a lot of work, a lot of study.
Like a carry overhead type thing.
It'll be on the undercarriage of the bridge.
How does that affect the Chemehuevi shuttle, the Tacopa, for example? That's a pretty high boat.
Yep. Early on, they reached out right away. I think we're right when the dollars were passed on to the city, and it was the initial news that took place. They're happy with the heights that we've discussed.
Nice, nice. Then the Dixie Belle too, I take it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, way to go.
Yeah. So it'll be the clearance for the second bridge will be pretty close to the same clearance at or above or just above the clearance that you see on the London Bridge right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, let's go ahead and take another break, and I'm going to keep it in the Beasties vein. Just going into this one. I think maybe we'll go into something else when we come out. And again, we're talking to City Manager Jess Knutson of Lake Havasu City and Development Services Director Jeff Tuneman. We'll find something for you, Jeff.
All good.
It's all good. All right.
And Jeff, give us some updates about the different permits and the different activity that's happening out within Havasu that your listeners would be eager to hear.
I have Marissa June feverishly looking for the candidates so far who have pulled petitions.
Packets.
Thank you. Yeah. Packets from the city clerk's office.
Yeah.
And I've got a list. I wanted to kind of read it on the air and not see what you think or anything, but just show you how impressive that is that I filled out a request for the paperwork.
Yeah.
I'm actually capable enough to do that.
And how quickly did Kelly Williams respond?
Dude, I couldn't believe it. I thought I would get it on Monday. I don't know. I think I talked to her at 10 after 4. She sent me the form. I got it by like 4:55.
She's phenomenal.
I was shocked.
Kelly Williams are phenomenal.
I thought, man, I'm gonna get this on Monday. No problem, you know,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
No, it was in my email like right before 5 o'clock, and then she went and probably had a margarita or whatever,
or finished the rest of her work.
I had to do the work that was associated with that.
There's something like 5,000 records that go through the clerk's office every year.
Whoa! Requests for records?
Yeah, I mean, the records is total, right?
Yeah.
Of all the records that are requested.
Yeah. Dang.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out, 928-854-5687, 928-727-5566 if you want to text. Back with more. Stay with us. Going over the hills and far away with a little Mighty Zep, right?
Yeah.
The Mighty Zep. I heard Led Zeppelin this morning on Common Ground. She was playing Immigrant Song. Mm. Marissa June just goes crazy on the tunes.
Okay.
It was funny because the topic was the ice roundups. One of the bumper music choices was, "You're as cold as ice."
Oh, fun.
I was like, wow.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I was laughing so hard. Anyway, we're going to go over the list of people who've pulled packets so far in a moment. But Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, SamsGuns.com, also Solar Power by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, the Lewis Team with Bobby and Julie Lewis, and of course, Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City. And don't forget, shop local, spend local, eat local, and play local, right? So I've got a list, and you've got three more to add. Are you going to participate in this one, or is it all me?
No, sure. I mean, I can help out with the... these are the individuals that have pulled a packet to either run for mayor or run for city council. We have three open seats on the council and one open seat on the mayor seat.
What happens if it's blank? It doesn't say C or M, because C is council, M is mayor, obviously.
So
there's a blank on
when individuals come in and they have the opportunity to pull a packet, and then Havasu's not the only. This is a very, very common. All cities and towns, a pretty uniform process that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a process that takes place. The number of signatures is different if you're going to run for council or for mayor. So they're asked to indicate whether or not they're pulling a packet for council or for mayor. And you can also just pull a packet and not sign either one of them. And so in that case, there's one that's blank because they didn't indicate at this time if their interest was at mayor or council.
I'm going to stretch this a little bit further.
Okay.
What are the signature requirements as far as numbers?
Oh, go? I should have left Jeff at the city.
That's a complicated process, isn't it?
It is. It's all based on the number of votes cast in the previous election.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, we can get all the information to you, Paul, and you can share with the listeners at
So the first one, I don't know if this is in order of how they pulled him or what, but Sam Scarmardo.
Yeah.
It says Salvatore, so I'm taking it that would be on the ballot as Salvatore Sam Scarmardo. Cal Sheehy, Mayor Cal Sheehy. Taylor Harrison. Kimberly Zanin. Michelle Lynn, incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny Koch, incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Holth or Holthy. I'm not sure how to say that. Christy Harper. And then Chris... I'm going to say Kreutzer.
That one does not. Kreutzer. K-R-U-E-T-Z-E-R.
Does not have a council or mayor specified that he pulled the packet for. And David Johnson, also known as River Dave.
For mayor. Yeah.
For mayor, correct. And then you have three more.
Yep, and this the three more packets that were pulled just yesterday.
Right.
Susan Kokanen for council member, Thomas O'Connor for council member, and Neil Tinsley for council member.
Oh, I know. Yeah, and that's his wife's a school board member, right?
Yeah, Evelyn.
Evelyn Tinsley. Yeah. Right. All right. So, yeah, it could make for what's the attrition rate on that as far as people turning in their packets?
You know, we have every year you have individuals that pull a packet and then they're thinking about it or have an interest in it and then but don't collect the signatures and the majority do. The majority pull a packet and then pursue the signature. You get X amount of signatures by the April deadline, then you're on the ballot.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. You wanted to talk also about the new water lab building.
Sure, absolutely.
Now, is that on the agenda tonight?
Yeah, so you're asking what else is maybe on the agenda this evening, and do you have that email, Jeff, or is that, yeah, I can pull it up. But on the agenda this evening is the water lab. So we've been talking about a water lab in Havasu for lots of years, and so we're able to identify that through the budget process and now bring in that, that project before the city council for their consideration on constructing a new water lab building. It'll be over in the vicinity of Cypress Park off Mulberry, and in that that area, we have a Mulberry treatment plant that's right there, so it'll be adjacent to it. The neighbors are well aware. The same rules don't apply for the city when it comes to like a rezoning. So, if it's a public facility, the city can just build it without going through that rezone process. Mm-hmm. But we said, you know what, if the builders, the developers, and our residents have to go through a process, we're going to go through the exact same process that they did. And kudos to Jeff and his team for leading that way to host neighborhood meetings and have those conversations. So there's a parking lot that was paved.
I remember the parking being a big concern of neighbors, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Correct. Parking and what's that use? Is there going to be activity at night? What's that look like? For the most part, we heard very little concerns, I guess, about the project. But everybody want to know what is it? What's it going to be?
It's amazing how loud. Is it amazing how much noise is made in orchids and Karens, and then you have the public meetings and nobody's there? Or?
Yeah, well, people attended, but
they did.
But they were. I'd want to know what's being built a couple houses down from my property.
I gotcha.
But I think we did things the right way and got the information out and made sure that everybody in the neighborhood understood what we're talking about.
What's the significance, though, Jeff, of a water lab building? What's the need in the community for that?
Just probably better.
Oh, okay. So the I thought that fell under your purview.
He's the zoning in the building.
I see.
Yeah. So anything tied to that, Jeff is the go-to guy for that. On the water lab, you know that's operated through our water division and our public works department. We have an existing water lab that is basically the old shipping area and the wastewater plant. It's old. It's not set up very well. There's some issues steps that have to be taken to make sure there's no cross contamination. All the rest, but essentially that's where we do a lot of the water testing in Havasu. So we pull waters out of our wells, out of our faucets within the community. We also pull water samples from areas agencies, La Paz, Parker. There are several hundreds of testing that does from agencies outside of Havasu that come and do the testing. And it's a constant monitoring of the safety and the conditions of our water in Havasu. So it's a big, big deal. We have really great people that work in the lab and that do great things and assure us that we're in a good spot. Thelac Fernando. Thelac was our wastewater superintendent. And it's still a shock to me to even say these words out loud, but he passed away a couple months ago. Very abrupt death that took place. And Thelac, PhD, Dr. Fernando, he worked in the water lab for 20-some years. Wow. So he's the one that set everything up there in the water lab. So there's some consideration on us naming the facility.
I was going to say, yeah.
Or dedicating something with regards to this water lab. It was something that he wanted and knew the need. Is very proud of what we're attempting to accomplish with the construction of a new water lab. So, we miss you, Thelac.
So we're in that period right now where every time the chiefs are scheduled, you know, the police and fire chief come on every third Monday.
They love it, by the way. Yeah.
But there's a holiday every third Monday until March. There's no holiday.
Yeah.
And I like to get an update on Fire Station 7. Do you have one?
Sure. Fire Station 7 is right at 60% design. For the listeners, typically what you do is you do a 30, a 60, and then you're at the final stage, 90, and then final. So we're progressing. At 60% design, that means we're collecting bids from contractors and quotes from contractors. So it goes pretty quickly after this one. We'll be coming to council here in the next month or so to finalize that CMAR agreement, a construction management at risk agreement. We're hoping to get construction started end of this year, and I know the community has been waiting for Fire Station 7 for lots of years. We were just lucky to be able to identify the funding that we did for it.
Okay.
And fills a gap that's desperately needed in our community, in that area in particular. You look at fire coverage and fire coverage across the community. There's one area that isn't covered, and Station 7 will be able to fit the puzzle, fit the piece of that puzzle right into the puzzle.
I had a really interesting conversation with Jeannie Kench last week about a couple of things that are definitely in her wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But this one fell into your wheelhouse as well as far as short-term rentals go.
Yeah,
there's some legislation that looks like it's got a chance of making it out of the hopper as far as limiting the number for cities to be able to limit the number of short-term rentals.
Oh, that one. There's
Do you think that's going to happen?
I hope not. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say I hope not. I should say that it's not a tool that Havasu's been asking for.
What's the tool that Havasu's been asking for? I would think that would be critical.
That is the legislation that Sedona has been pushing for several years.
The number.
And it's basically gives the cities the ability to do that if they wanted to. It's something that if that gets it's been floating through the legislature for 4 or 5 years in a row.
Oh, really?
So take that for what it's worth. And I said anything that gives more control to cities and towns is a great thing. So
what would give you more control?
What we've been asking for, and working with the league and other cities and with our legislative leadership, is we want to be able to revoke a short-term rental permit.
Oh.
No, and we sit on these user groups that are, there's 10, 12, 15 cities represented on a Zoom call or a Teams call.
Mm-hmm.
And so I posed the question, because we can't do it in Havasu. Has any city in Arizona been able to revoke a short-term rental permit? Nobody can.
Wow.
The adjudication process, you have to have 3 cases that go through the courts. So not just like you get a citation or a fine. 3 have to go through the courts within a 12-month period in order for the city to be able to take a possible action on revoking your permit.
So a noise complaint, let's say a fight or destruction of property and whatever else that's a code enforcement violation, those would all have to go through the courts before you can do that?
And just the timing of it, you couldn't get 3 of those to happen, back-to-back-to-back, to be adjudicated within 12 months?
Yeah, so the probability is slim and none.
Make it 3 years, make it 2 years,
right.
Do something that allows it even as a possibility. We don't, as a city, we're obligated through state statute to submit or to permit short-term rentals in Havasu, but we don't have the ability to revoke a permit if somebody's a bad actor. We don't want to go out there and start revoking all the permits that are out there. But
right.
For those, 1 or 2% of the short-term rental owners that are causing all of the problems in our neighborhoods, maybe you shouldn't operate a short-term rental in Havasu anymore. And so we want the that's what would help us out a ton, is to be able to address the bad actors.
Well, it sounds like, according to Jeannie, and she could have a really good chance of getting this through, that short-term rentals would be taxed as commercial properties, not residential.
Yeah, I'm already hearing there's running into a few
snags.
Speed bumps and snags. And
you think?
All the rest,
because of the lobby, huh?
That lobby on the back end is, they are all powerful.
I hear they're buying up neighborhoods now, not just getting input from the people who own the properties, they own the those companies like the Vrbo and the Airbnb. They're owning properties themselves.
Yeah, I mean, you heard, I think it was at President Trump was talking about that last week, right?
Yeah.
And possibly taking some type of action to limit the number of single-family homes that can be purchased by a corporation.
And, that's interesting that would get through the courts.
Yeah, I mean, but there's, I mean, well, we'll see. I mean, yeah. I'm biased because I think that the more you have of that happening, that's less homes for that family, right?
Right.
For the individuals and the families and the households, the people that need homes as opposed to a corporate investment.
Well, somebody in those corporations came up with the idea, hey, why are we waiting on these people to post their homes? Why don't we just buy them?
Right.
Like, really? I mean, is that really fair?
No, I mean, and in my mind, it's not. So I'm advocating. No. I'm taking a stance on that one. That's a tough one because we need inventory for people.
They have what I call Super Bowl money.
Yeah,
they advertise during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's big money that you're talking about fighting there. So
yeah.
But yeah, the actual legislation I heard was for cities with populations of less than 70,000.
Yeah.
What's the moratorium ability?
So there's a bill that some language is already out there, and I forget who's got it out there. There will be more bills that will be dropped here. The opening day was yesterday for the legislative session, and every year they ask, you know, we talk to our lobbyists. We sit down and talk about what's important to Havasu every single year. It's all about local control. It's all about bringing in the SLIF dollars, and it's all about more control for short-term rental when it comes to cities and towns. Allow us to be able to manage that on a local level. We're different than Phoenix. We're different than, you know, Bisbee or Page or Scottsdale. Let us, as a city, let our residents and let the community dictate how short-term rentals are operated in Havasu. And the fact that we're handcuffed by it with our ability not to revoke somebody. We have to give you a permit, but we can't take it away from you.
That's crazy. For anybody.
That's the way state law is written.
Any
right now.
City.
All cities, yeah. Again, all the cities I have on, you know, the Scottsdales, the Phoenixes, the Sedonas, the, you know, 10 to 15 cities represented on these calls, and I've challenged them for four meetings in a row. Like, is one city ever revoked? Trying to make my point.
Wow.
So,
does anybody from the governor's office sit in on those meetings?
So that is just cities and towns. So we have our working group for cities and towns. So we try to work together as cities, and then come up with some commonalities. And then reach out to legislators to support that stance.
Right. Wow.
Don't forget about Jeff. He's got some information, I think, that the listeners.
Jump in, Jeff.
Yeah. All right. Well, to share some projects that have recently come through, we had a rezone out at the mall. Everyone knows the mall, Walmart area.
The Ultra housing Star,
rezone? Yeah, it was called the Come Together Project. Mm-hmm. It was six buildings. With 102 apartments, a mix of single family, one bedroom, two bedroom units. Mm-hmm. So we had that come through. And sticking with the mall out there, if we all are familiar with the Win-Win Bingo area, there in front of Dillard's, we've issued a tenant improvement permit for a facility called Split Finger Athletics. So they're in there doing construction right now. I believe it's going to be a training facility for our youth with some batting cages and that type of
great name.
So some indoor, some outdoor type type stuff. So that's a pretty cool project. And then right across the street here, I like to call it the old Kmart Plaza, but in front of here of the Mojave County Library, there's a tenant improvement going in over there called the Back Nine Golf, and it's four simulators, kind of where I believe you can get a membership and go in there and play any types of courses or practice on your game. And then we also, if we all are familiar with Kiowa Ponds, formerly known as Kiowa Ponds there on Highway 95, the city sold that about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, to Anderson Power Sports. They have recently submitted an at-risk grading permit have submitted for a building permit for one of the buildings on that site. So we are currently reviewing that at this time, and we could see some dirt moving on that property here this year. Lastly, I'll just share some statistics with you. Our fiscal year is from July 1 of 1 year to June 30th.
Right.
So for our first 6 months of this new fiscal year, the 2025-26, we've issued 75 new single-family home permits. We've had between residential additions, garages, patios, those types of permits, we've issued 198. And lastly, between pools and spas, right around 168 permits. So
quite a few.
We're kind of keeping in line with last year's numbers. We're a little bit below last year's, but still the racks are full. So good to hear.
All right,
they're keeping you busy.
Keeping us busy.
You guys are good to go.
All right, great.
But I have to share this with you. I have a listener that asked if I was needy. And I said, needy? Why would I be needy? I said, when you asked that, you said you felt like Jess wasn't happy to see you. So now I'm needy.
Yeah. I agree. Whoever that was, you're a smart man. Or woman.
Whiny boy Lavoie. That's me. I'm needy. Yeah. Jeff Tuneman, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
You notice I said Jeff Tuneman first and not Jess Knudsen?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Thanks for being here. Appreciate seeing
you
again.
Yeah. Good to see you, Paul.
Always welcome. Yeah. All right. And it's an hour from now on.
Yeah, I love it.
All right. Okay. We'll be back with more. Final shot when I come back on Speak Out. A little final shot on Speak Out. Let you know who's coming up tomorrow. I've already got a confirmation from Michelle Ford at the Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce. Michelle will be here. Yay! And then I still have to confirm River Cities United Way. But and then I need to confirm Brian on Thursday. But I have a feeling since he's been gone so long, he's dying to come back on the air. Brian will be on for an hour when he is back on. So there you go. All right, that's all I have. Don't forget about those road closures we were telling you about in association with the Parker 400, that the tech inspection is going to be in Havasu. Going to be a blast tomorrow, you guys. Those road closures go in. Actually, I think it's the next day. Anyway, they go into effect soon. All right, Hannity's up next.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.